This is the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader.
You are the spiritual leader of 2.5 or 3 million African American Muslims.
That's what I'm told.
That's what you're told. Well, that's what I'm told as well. Mm-hmm. I do know for a fact that you are a person, a man, who is greatly respected and someone whose opinions are strongly sought after. So I don't think there could be a better time in history than to come to you and ask you to help all of us understand Islam and really help us develop an insight into what's happening. Uh-huh. From your point of view, what is happening in terms of Osama bin Laden and his version of Islam?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that Osama bin Laden is really has been accepted as the leader of Islamic community life worldwide, or even anywhere in Saudi Arabia. I'm not sure of that. I would think that he's not. I would think that the Islamic world is still divided by many different methods or schools of thought, and also by many personalities like Osama bin Laden. But definitely he has captured the attention of the world because he's identified as the mastermind behind the horrible thing that was done to our country. I feel that most of the Muslims of the world are relying upon their local people, the religious leaders, for understanding and guidance. And a great number, maybe many times bigger than that number, are depending on themselves. They go to their holy books privately, and they depend on their own opinions and mind and thinking. And thank God that most of the Muslims don't accept to have their freedom taken away. Most of the Muslims, even in countries where the freedom is taken away, most of the Muslims insist that they go privately to the Word of God, and they know our Prophet Muhammad, they know his life, and that's what is really ruling in the Islamic world. Even though you can't see that, because the powerful Islamic State, the political order, the government, are not accepting that the people express themselves openly and freely.
Among those who are not Muslim, there is the tendency, I have read a lot of articles, mm-hmm. there is the tendency to take the belief of an Islamic cult or sect and generalize it to the world's entire population of Muslims. For example, I read an article by one writer who said at one time President Bush is trying to convince the world that Muslims are peaceful, that a handful of Muslims are doing these bad things. But what I'm seeing now is so many Muslims who agree with Osama bin Laden that this must be what Islam basically teaches. How do you respond to that?
The developments in the world presently, not to mention the crusades that's still in the minds of the Muslim world and the world, and not to mention 1947 when Israel was established, or when they were establishing Israel as a state in what was the home of the Jews and the Palestinians. The things that are happening now, like the problem for the Palestinians and the Israelis and Kashmir in India, all of these troubles on the minds of Muslims, especially Muslim leaders. And we can't just look at what happened on the 11th of September and isolate it from all these other things. What we have is a damaged psyche of the Muslim world, mostly the leaders. They have a damaged psyche. When I say a damaged psyche, I'm sure they won't agree with me, but when I say a damaged psyche, I mean that these troubles of the world, in the world, that have been used by them in their thinking, by their thinking, to say that this is why we don't have peace in the world. This is why. It's because Christianity fought against us and the Crusades, and because colonial days, they imposed their life on us in our countries under colonialism and under the colonial states. We had to give up our life, and because of what they did in the Middle East, establish Israel over there on us and take Jerusalem and make this capital. All those things are on their mind. So with these things on their mind, naturally they would get bitter and become more bitter and more bitter, and some enraged and become very, very destructive, self-destructive as well. So we have to look at the whole picture to see what is the psyche of the Muslim world. And when I say the Muslim world, I'm speaking mainly of Muslim leaders who influence the Muslim world to their way of thinking, etc. Now, there are readings in the Quran, portions of the Quran, that address the problem that the Palestinians are having in Israel. But never are we to become the wrongdoers in the eyes of God, because we want to get at wrongdoers.
Well, what's wrong? Let me just hypothetically say that.
Yes.
Your school of thought is basically traditional Sunni Islam.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Someone came to you, and I'd like for you to help me understand this because I don't know the details. Someone came to you approximately 5 years ago.
Yes.
Yes. From a country in the Middle East.
Yes.
A very influential and wealthy man.
Yes.
And attempted to get you to teach a form of Islam or to promote a form of Islam.
Uh-huh.
Am I accurate in saying that that form of Islam is closer to what we call Wahhabism?
Well, just for a little clarification, this person did not indicate to me that he came with any interest in me accepting any particular school of thought. This person came to me and impressed me with this idea that you need to have us as your big brother. No, pardon me. As your father, and you and your other leaders, your brothers, and you need us as your father. And left me with the impression that I was to not differ with them, have no points of view that differ with him and those associated with him back in his country in the leadership. And it so happens that the school of thought for that country is Wahhabi school of thought.
Now, can you explain for the audience what Wahhabi Islam is like?
Well, I can't because it's made public. I don't live in Saudi Arabia.
We're not talking about Saudi Arabia.
Yes, I visit there, but I don't live there.
It's
public knowledge.
Then compare it to the type of fundamental Islam that is advocated by the Taliban.
I know, but...
Would that be unfair?
Well, in my opinion, I would say that I have nothing in my knowledge and in my experience with the king. I've been the guest of two kings of Saudi Arabia, and I have nothing in my knowledge and experience to support that. My knowledge and experience tells me that Saudi Arabia's leadership is moderate when we look at some extreme nations of Islam that we have now, Muslim centers that are in the news. When we look at them, I would say Saudi Arabia is a moderate, not an extremist. And I would also say that Saudi Arabia is mainly interested in getting the Quran, our holy book, and the pure teachings of Islam, life of our prophet, to Muslims. and that's their charity to the Islamic world. We receive many Qurans and much good help from them. Even with our school curriculum, they were ready to help us to develop our school curriculum. I don't believe that Saudi Arabia is in the hands of extremists. I believe that there are extremists among them.
If you had accepted, and I want to be clear here, you rejected this offer.
Yes.
Why did you reject the offer of becoming the child to a new parent?
Well,
the religious offspring, if I'm
yes.
saying it correct.
Well, I guess it's because my father raised me well, and my mother did a marvelous job.
and translated, that means what?
I have my own mind, and I won't give it up.
Well, I want you to help me understand, because I don't, what the difference is between what you're teaching, what you were teaching, and what you thought you would have to teach if you entered into this new relationship with this emissary from Saudi Arabia. We're not attacking Saudi Arabia. We're certainly not attacking
Definitely not. When I was a child, young as I can remember, maybe 5 or 6 years old, I can recall myself sitting on in the seat with all the other Muslims listening to my father preach to the congregation. What impressed me most as a child, and it stayed with me until now, is what he said Islam was then. He said Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. And no one can take that from me. Freedom, justice, and equality.
If you had entered into this relationship, do you fear you would have lost your freedom, your equality?
Yes.
And you would not have gotten justice?
No, exactly.
Well, then, was
for my soul, well, for my mind,
well, you are and were the leader of 3 million African Americans who are members of your Islamic organization. You are the spiritual leader. So you would have been taking Black Americans who are Muslims in a different direction, would you have not? Would that not have been the result if you had accepted this relationship?
Well, certainly. If I had accepted that relationship, I would have given up my leadership and abandoned what I feel to be my duty to my community.
What would your community have gotten in terms of spiritual?
They would have gotten a man, and they probably would have accepted me because they love me. They would have gotten a man for their leader, who would have not been their leader. Their leader would have been whoever was dictating thought, opinion, thinking, and policy to them through me.
You would have become a conduit.
Yes, sir.
All right. What I want you to help me understand is what would the message have been through you as a conduit?
The message
what would you have told these 3 million African Americans Islam was? That is different from what you continue to tell them and what you tell them today.
Well, I would have simply I would have been in a position to tell them that Islam, for you to see this Islam, look abroad.
Look abroad and look to Saudi Arabia.
I don't want to say Saudi.
Okay, you don't have to say Saudi Arabia. They would have had to look abroad.
Look abroad.
And if they looked abroad, they would have seen a more extremist, fundamentalist Islam than you teach?
Well, I wasn't seeing it as extremist. I wasn't seeing it as even as fundamentalist. I was seeing it as ritualistic. They would have had a more ritualistic life than a rational life.
Explain that, please.
They would have simply been following the rituals of prayer, the rituals of Hajj, etc., but not being free thinkers.
How to be a Muslim in America? They would not have been adapting and learning. You emphasize, do you not?
Their rational mind would have been sealed against influencing their thinking as Muslims.
Would they have, in your opinion, been better Americans if they simply were ritualistic Muslims? Or do you believe
they would have no place in America?
They would have no place in
America. This is the land of the free.
So they would not have been able
to
other ideologies.
They would have been monsters and dummies walking around in America.
Monsters?
Dummies, zombies. In America, if you're not thinking on your own and somebody else is dictating your life and your thinking and everything, you're not human.
Well, now let me be specific. September 11th, year 2001, came along 5 years later. Had you in that five-year period been teaching this other philosophy that someone wanted you to teach, and you in the conduit position would be simply passing along ideology, would today in America many, if not most, of the members, the 3 million members of your Muslim organization, would they be more amenable to the message of Osama bin Laden's version of Islam?
I won't say to his version of Islam, because who knows his version of Islam? We don't know it.
But they would
have been influenced by his popularity that has now been given to him, because he is charged with being the mastermind of the attack upon our country. They would have been influenced by it. And I think many of them, if not 50% or more, many of them would have seen him as a hope for Islam. Because that's the tendency in most of the Muslims of the world. The cost of that damaged psyche I mentioned to you earlier, how troubles have scarred them, and they charge the West with all the troubles, practically all those troubles, and maybe correctly. Because of that damaged Muslim psyche, most of the Muslims of the world are just desperately waiting to see who is going to be our deliverer, who is going to champion our cause. So when someone comes up and presented to them by Western press, they suspect the Western press, and they want to disbelieve the Western press because of the conditioning, bad experience and hurt from the past. That they charge to the West. So right away they want to reject the news coming from the West. So they're not going to read that news. They're going to read the news coming from Muslim media. And I would say the majority, 50% or more, would have been inclined to see America as the wrongdoer and find some way to cover or ignore all the wrong that has been charged with Osama bin Laden.
Am I incorrect in this analysis? Had you gone along and, in effect, turned over your community to an outside force when you were asked to do so, would America today not be a very different place, and would you have not, according to your own words, I'm not qualified to speak for you, would you have not, through your capitulation to this other force,
yes,
have created a fifth column of black people in the United States,
certainly,
who now would be ready to act against their own country?
Certainly. Yes. Because at most of the mishaps of schools, as presented by our leaders at this time, they do not tend to welcome thinkers who embrace the ideas, the great ideas of this nation or the Western world. And if we had been influenced to accept their way of thinking, I doubt if our following would be patriotic in any degree.
Now available, the new book titled The Champion We Have in Common, The Dynamic African-American Soul, authored by Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader. On sale now at your local Islamic center or call 1-708-798-6653. That's 1-708-798-6653. Ask for Amatullah.
Do you have fear, as a renowned Islamic scholar, and you are?
I don't claim that.
You may not claim it, but other people do. I knew you were going to say that. But you are recognized as a renowned scholar, and you are recognized, I know, by most people who know you as a man of impeccable integrity. And I'd like to get back to two points in your life and we all attest it. You had a test when you became, you were elected to be the head of the Nation of Islam, which is all black and was all black in 1975. Founded by your father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you didn't carry out the, let me not say you didn't carry out, let me ask you, did your philosophy veer from what the Nation of Islam's philosophy, which has been called black nationalism, for lack of a better term, up to that point?
Yes.
Did you see that as a test in your life? Was that a path when you had to go one way or the other?
Yes.
Did you experience it that way?
Yes, I did.
Well, why did you, you could have had a pretty good thing, because you would have had thousands and thousands of people who would have done whatever you wanted. You would have had
millions and millions of dollars.
Millions and millions of dollars. And there are a lot of black people who would have wanted you to carry out that tradition. Why did you go in another direction?
Yes. That was the most difficult thing. It was not the money. It was not the popularity. Because thank God I'm not created that way. it was our members that I knew being hurt deeply by the change that I was bringing about. And many of them were very sincere, but they just couldn't see the strategy of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. His strategy was to be harsh, separatist, demand separate states, etc., to put pressure on America to look at itself again and to treat us better as citizens and to give us equal citizenship in this country. That was his strategy. And as the country changed to accept us, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad toned his own rhetoric. He brought it down. He lowered the tone and eventually appeared as a peacemaker. If you would listen to the last two annual addresses that he made to his following at the Savior's Day Convention, you will hear an Elijah Muhammad that's appealing to his people to look at America again, to look at the white man again. And he said, there's a white man from Islam. He's a scientist. And when he says scientist, he means a saint. A saint, one of the members of the ulama, the scholars of Islam. He pointed to him, there's a white man. He's from Turkey. This man is from Turkey. He said that to say, all white people are not bad. This white man, this is a white man. He's a Muslim. And he's a saint. He's a scholar. He's a wise man. And he said, I say this from the bottom of my heart. So if the white man can accept you and treat you decently, you respect him. That was Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Give me a summary, if you would, as to what in your father's plan created independent thought among members of the Nation of Islam, or was designed to create independent thought among members of the Nation of Islam?
He made that perfectly clear. He said, what I'm teaching you is preparing you to be your own leaders, so you're not to think like the Muslims of the that are outside, or the Muslim world, or in the Muslim world. He said, our Savior, speaking of his teacher, his mystical teacher, he said, our Savior told me to not to let them teach you, and to not to even permit them to become members of the Nation of Islam. And you know, they were not members of the Nation of Islam for most of the history of the Nation of Islam. And also, he had his own lessons for us to learn that build up our self-worth, our sense of our own self, personal self-worth, and made us to think that God wanted us to tackle the world problems, personal problems, after black people's problems, the world problems, and qualify ourselves to be our own leaders, not only in America, but in the whole world. So actually, it was creating, what his teacher did and what he did was actually something to create a new mind and a new thinking in the Islamic world.
Is there anything in the Quran that justifies, no matter what America's foreign policy is, whether one agrees or disagrees with it, and God knows America's foreign policy has done a lot of bad things, done a lot of good things, but it's done a lot of bad things. No matter what America's association is with Israel, no matter what America believes, is there any justification, according to the Quran, for the terrorist attack that America suffered on September the 11th, year 2001?
The answer is no. There's no justification for any Muslim to kill innocent people to get at the guilty ones. That's against Islam. You don't kill the innocent to get to the guilty.
Now, among
not to those who think are guilty.
What does this do for an American Muslim psychologically? Being a human being, an American Muslim is no different from an American Christian
no.
or an American
no.
Jew.
No.
These people jump from a building 70 stories high to avoid burning to death,
yeah.
and then in absolute desperation flap their arms trying to fly. Makes one, moves one to tears,
yes.
and it hurts.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what. But aside from that, I'm an American, I'm not an American Muslim, but if I were an American Muslim, I then would have to say the people who did this are called members of my faith. What does this do to the Muslim inside who is an American, who's a good American, and most American Muslims are good Americans? What does this do psychologically?
Yes. I was in Washington, D.C. At that time. So happened that I was there. A group of religious leaders had been invited by President Bush to meet with him at 3 o'clock that afternoon to discuss profiling.
Muslims?
Yes, profiling. And I think some few Christians among them, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Christians and Muslims. And when I heard of what had happened, immediately I felt hurt, frightened, horrified. I never thought of those persons as Muslims, and I will never be able to think of them as Muslims.
You mean
the persons who perpetrated, the persons who actually carried out that horrible thing.
In one of the handbooks, or the handbook that was found that those men brought with them, it instructed them to live in America, cut off the beard, don't wear long white shirts,
mm-hmm.
Do not associate with other Muslims, do not go to the mosque, do not pray,
mm-hmm.
Consort with women, live like whatever other Americans.
Mm-hmm.
The night before, some of them were out allegedly ordering prostitutes to the hotel room,
mm-hmm.
drinking whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound like a Muslim to me.
No, not at all.
I mean, how could you die in the name of Allah
mm-hmm.
and then offend Allah
no.
with your very conduct?
No. Even the most warped-minded Muslim who thinks himself to be a Muslim couldn't have done that. Couldn't have ordered prostitution and drank liquor.
Now available, the new book titled The Champion We Have in Common, The Dynamic African-American Soul, authored by Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader. On sale now at your local Islamic center or call 1-708-798-6653. That's 1-708-798-6653. Ask for Amatullah. Be sure to join us next time for the world broadcast of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6750. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.